Good morning. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33 will serve as our text this morning, which reads, "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left." We'll continue reading to get the full context. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also is written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Three men were crucified at Calvary that day. Let us look at each one of them in turn. The focus of our sermon this morning shall be the man in the center. We shall look long at Jesus of Nazareth this morning. And then briefly, we shall look at the unbelieving criminal on the cross, and at the penitent criminal on the cross who was crucified on Jesus' other side. First, we shall look at the man in the center, Jesus of Nazareth. His crime is stated over him: "This is the King of the Jews." Now, Pilate had it written this way out of sarcasm, for a dig against the chief priests, who wanted the writing to say, "He said, I am the King of the Jews." Ironically, Pilate got it right. Now, what is astonishing is that Jesus of Nazareth was barely recognizable as a man at all. And yet some said he was a king. But his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Spoke to an eyewitness. I didn't catch his name. He said something about being the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he recounted the horrors of seeing this Jesus hanging on the cross, having previously a crown of thorns twisted on his head, and his face and his body being repeatedly beaten. The crown of thorns twisted so as to inflict maximum injury and punishment. And the beating, merciless. The blows, not counted up to a certain point. Another man, a pilgrim, a Cyrenian, Simon by name, told of how he was forced to carry Jesus' cross when the strength of the condemned man had finally failed him. Now wait. I think I hear Jesus speaking. Let us listen carefully the words which he says. He is saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and I'm not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue clings to my jaws, for you have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. What, I ask, has this Jesus done? Looking around, I saw a priest dressed in his full regalia, tassels and all, the word of the law hanging down from his clothing. The priest was heckling this Jesus of Nazareth. And he said that this Jesus was guilty of healing a man on the Sabbath. I asked another who said he claimed to be equal with God. And so I turned, and the man who called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved had now composed himself. And he recounted how Jesus had once said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A high-ranking ruler of the Jews confirmed that indeed Jesus had said these words, But he did not wish to give his name. But I knew him. He was one who was called the ruler of the Jews, a teacher of Israel. He had his own rabbinic school. And his name was Nicodemus. The young man who stood by the mother of the condemned went on to tell us of the sinlessness of the man on the center cross, of his divinity. And he also said that this one who is being crucified would die, be buried, and rise again the third day. He said it without much conviction, though. I'm not sure if he believed it himself at this point in time. Now, the scripture says to you and I that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And again, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Now, we've lingered long here. I pray that if anything is etched into your conscience this morning, it's that man, the God-man, Jesus of Nazareth, hanging on that tree. But yet we shall look at the unbelieving criminal on the cross. He mocked Jesus even as he was facing imminent death. That man, too, was going to breathe his last. He was going to die that day, being rightfully condemned, guilty before men. And he was going to die guilty before God as well. For he rejected God's Christ. It is amazing how people persist in rejecting God in his Christ. The unbelieving criminal had nothing to lose but his pride that day. But he would rather keep his pride and take his pride with him to the grave and lose his soul. We shall also look at the penitent criminal. He too was guilty in life. But it was not too late. He saw something different about this Jesus of Nazareth. Surely he had heard about him, if not before. He'd heard about him that week. The city was all abuzz with this man who had ridden into it lowly on a donkey, who many claimed to be the Messiah with much fanfare. and something within his spirit. Told him that this Jesus of Nazareth was not like Judas and all the others who were mere pretenders to the messianic throne. And so he knew and he declared the innocence of the Son of God. And he asked Jesus for help, saying, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now we too, you too, are guilty of offending God by your sin. And the innocent one, Jesus, has come beside you this morning. You see, Jesus is lifted up as the brazen serpent in the wilderness, that all who might look to him might receive salvation from the plague of sin, which is death. And there you are on his side, guilty, rightfully so, hanging on the cross beside him. Which side are you on? What will your response be? And Christian, believer, if you've been gadding about debating the non-essentials of the faith or playing games with God in whatever fashion suits you, I pray that your gaze is singularly focused this morning upon this man who was crucified at the place called Calvary, who died that you may live. Lord God, hear our prayer this morning for those in my hearing who are saints and those who are yet in their sin, that the response of one as well as the other is to gaze up and to make acknowledgement with thanksgiving that your Son died and suffered all these things that we might live and know that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.